Let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Ananta Forbes. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Ananta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. By the magic of technology, Ananta, you are joining us from the Philippines, live from the Philippines. So tell us exactly where you are and what you've been doing.
Right. So technically, I'm coming from the future because I'm 14 hours ahead.
Yes, you are.
than Mountain Standard Time. And I am very fortunate to visit the Philippines. And, you know, it's one of those destinations that are quite complete as far as a travel experience because it blends a lot of things together. It's a tropical island scenery, has great marine life, very friendly culture, and has a mixture of adventure and relaxation that you don't often get in one single place. So my journey started with Air Canada, from Calgary via Vancouver to Manila. It's, over a 14-hour flight from Vancouver, and people are traveling. It was almost completely full, and it's a great destination to arrive in. You do arrive very early in the morning, like just before 7 a.m. And instead of waiting around till the usual 2 p.m. hotel check-in time, I booked an early access to our hotel. So technically I booked like an extra day because it's worth it. Like, cause you know how it's already a 14-hour flight plus the layover in Vancouver. You know, plus. So it was good, after a long haul flight to be able to go straight to the room and reset. It makes a huge difference. Now you can go, to another island because the Philippines is made up of many islands. Manila, where you fly into, isn't a destination that I would say that most leisure travelers would, enjoy as far as this is a, it's just a big city. It's probably more, tends to, business travelers. So you could go to, an island, another island the same day because you do have the time, but we chose to stay cautious in case of delays or if we're just too tired because it's already a long journey. Our first, island or is Boracay. And it's probably one of the most famous islands in the Philippines. And when you first arrive, it really does look like the photos, bright white sand, clear water, and those classic like tropical sunsets. But it's actually a lot more developed and more crowded than people expect, especially around White Beach, which is, it centers a lot of the activity. And one of the things that you're going to notice right away is like, just like some Caribbean islands where they're divided into parishes, this island is divided into stations, which are just basically sections of White Beach. So station one is quieter, with, a more upscale area with wider beachfronts and luxury resorts. Station two is the busiest and most central where D Mall restaurants, bars and nightlights are concentrated. And station three is more laid back and budget friendly, with more of a local feel. Now, then there is another place called Station Zero. It's not an official station, but a nickname for the luxury resort just beyond Station One. And this is where I stayed at the Crimson Resort and Spa. It's a 5-star beachfront resort. It's with villas, private beach access, infinity pools, and has a much quieter atmosphere. It's away from the chaos, but still close enough to go into, the areas, of activities whenever you want. And getting around Boracay, you can do it by e-trikes and they're everywhere. It's cheap, it's fast, it's simple to use. The only real challenge is traffic around D Mall, especially at sunset at dinner time. And here, everywhere in the Philippines, you're going to feel the heat and it's no joke. So the combination of humidity and sun and the reflection off the white sand can drain you pretty quickly. So water and sunscreen are essential. And so what we did, pretty much the next day upon arrival is going on an island tour. And It's a good idea to do it because most visitors only ever see White Beach, and there's so much more to the island. So we started by going to see a mangrove area, which is quite different from the beach area. It's quiet, it's shaded, it's far removed from tourism. We went to different beaches, including Bulabog Beach on the east side, which is it's kind of rougher and windier. There's some five-star resorts here. It's known for kite boarding. And the morning light across the water, if you're a photographer, is really good. We also passed through Ante Village, which kind of gives context to the indigenous heritage of the island. And something to see because, you know, it's a place where very old in tradition and, developed for a number of centuries, really. You should go and see it. And then, we went back to White Beach and visited one of Boracay's most iconic landmarks. It's called Willie's Rock, and it's a natural, volcanic formation just off the shoreline and with a small shrine built on top, featuring the statue of the Virgin Mary. And at low tide, you can walk out through the shallow water. So a key tip, wear water shoes, because you have to walk through water a lot when you're in the Philippines, whether it's getting onto a boat or walking along the beach or just going to see different attractions. And then we also went to Puka Beach, which is known for being more open, less crowded. And this is where the puka shells are. So you see lots of vendors selling bracelets and necklaces and so on if you want to pick something up. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, our activity was parasailing. And it's going on a traditional sailboat with no engine, just wind and water. And then it's quiet, it's slow. It's completely different than everything else on the island. And this is where people gather on the beach and go on different boats, and you go see the sunset. And it's quite nice. It's only an hour. You start around 5 in the afternoon, 5 to 5:30. The sunsets are quite beautiful. Some nights are perfect. Others are cloudy. So it always depends on the conditions. But it's just nice to being on the water. Mm-hmm. And again, this is where you would want to wear your water shoes because you do have to walk out onto through the beach to get onto the boat. And also, don't be afraid of being wet because sometimes the water kind of sprays back on you. So always have your, like a waterproof bag for your belongings, especially your phone. So keep that in mind. And then the next day, like we spent 3 nights in Boracay before we flew to El Nido. And it's a completely different feel. It's a little bit more rugged, more natural, less polished, but in a good way. We were staying at Sida Leo, which is right on Leo Beach, which is quieter than there's another opportunity where you could stay in El Nido Town, but that's got a lot more nightlife and more noise and congestion. It's just crammed, full of people and activity. It's just buzzy, absolutely buzzy.
It's a busy place, in other words.
It is. So we enjoyed just walking on the beach from the resort to this little area that had lots of restaurants and bars, and then you can eat there. So it was kind of affordable in a sense where you didn't always have to eat at the hotel. If you wanted to, you could eat at these places. People go and watch the sunset. We were very near the airport, so there's lots of planes that would fly in and out, and I like seeing that. That's probably one of my most favorite sights in the world, is seeing a plane take off and land.
Yeah, me too.
And it was a good resting place and place to if you were thinking of a wedding. Lots of weddings were happening here. And then the next day after we got settled, we went to hike up to these falls, and it's like a short jungle trek with river crossing. It's very uneven terrain, but it leads to freshwater pools surrounded by dense greenery. It's not difficult, but proper footwear is important. And our friends and native people of Philippines are flip-flop people, like they just, or Crocs. And I'm terrified to walk in flip-flops on this hike. It was really, like I wore water shoes. And even that, it was, you have to be very, very careful because there was like exposed tree roots and such. So it's quite a lovely hike, but keep mind we're not locals that grew up in flip-flops that could just bounce along. but it is good because like the first level you come up on a waterfall and there's a pool for a quick cool off dip if you wish, and then you could walk up even to the second level, and but you do have to walk through like a knee-high water level, so you do, it's best to have water shoes. And then after that we went to this beach called Natpan, and it's a long stretch of golden sand. It's beautiful turquoise water. It's wide open space, so you never feel crowded. You can swim, sunbathe, just enjoy the refreshment from the shacks on the beach, or even enjoy clamping. There's an opportunity to do that. A lot of people would rent mopeds and just head up there for the day. And then after lunch or for lunch, we stopped at this place along the beach further down. And just, you know, it's quite an experience having lunch. And just watching the ocean, it's beautiful. Like it just, the food's good, the view of the ocean, and then you see the surrounding islands and such. So it was cool. And then from there, the next day we went to visit, it's called Sipitan, and it's the side of Palawan, which is where El Nido is. That's different from the beaches. We first visited a generational organic farm run by a local family, and the farming is based on traditional knowledge passed down over time. And this is all about sustainability and natural cycles. Like the farm produces its own compost, organic fertilizer, like it uses kitchen scraps or coconut husks, leaves, plant waste, or animal manure is used for fertilizer. It's all about like just being healthy, protecting the crops instead of chemical inputs. It's really quite interesting. And then the lady who explained it all was very passionate about organic farming, and it was interesting because you know, you think there'd be electricity involved, but there wasn't. No electricity at all.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like solar panel. Yeah. And then like, it was solar panels connected to batteries if they need. And above the farm, the structure that we were in, they actually live on top. And the whole village, didn't have electricity either. So it was quite interesting, how simply they lived, but how much they contributed to, the community through, selling their produce or so much. And it was good. It was really interesting. It brought you back down to earth. Afterwards, we had lunch on a beachfront, location, included like grilled meats and seafood and some of the vegetables that have been harvested from the farm. And then we had these six youth that, quite lovely. We did some traditional dancing just for us because we had a private tour. It was really quite nice. and then we flew to, we didn't fly. We drove. It was 5 hours from El Nido to Puerto Princesa. And it is 5 hours. It's on very windy road. It's fast and furious driving. I did have to take a half of a gravel because it was so windy. And it's like this is where we started off going on an underground river tour, and it was it's a busy day. Like you get up super early in the morning. There's a drive to where the underground river starts. And then you could wait up to an hour waiting for the boat to take you out to the caves. And then there's a paddle boat that takes you into the cave. So it's not a casual half day activity, but it's worth it. We were lucky today. We hardly had any waiting time. Inside the cave, it's incredible, like massive limestone formations. When the person that is paddling our boat turns off his flashlight, it's complete darkness. It's a cave formation that has been created over time. And it's like from drips of water throughout the time that kind of starts as a dimple. And then it makes it wider into stalagmites and different cave formation. It's absolutely incredible. Like I've never actually experienced this before. And it's subterranean. We only went 2.5 kilometers through it, but there's more to go and see. They give you an audio guide that you can hear in English or a language of your what you need, and mm-hmm. you just listen to the audio guide about the explanations, like just like cloud formations, like when you kind of see a cloud and you think, oh, it's a, I don't know, a football or whatever.
Is it spooky though? Is it spooky and do you feel claustrophobic?
Oh, it's huge. This place is absolutely huge. The ceilings are really high. It's quite wide in some places. It isn't like you think maybe claustrophobic. No, you weren't. Okay. And there's other boats going through it. So you see light.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's quite, they encourage you not to speak and to just absorb the atmosphere and listen to the audio. They sell before you, get on the boat to go to the cave, those plastic inserts that you can put your camera in so it doesn't get wet and it strings around your neck. It's a good thing to have because if you drop your phone, you'll never get it back ever because it's so dark.
In the dark, I guess not, right? That's it's done.
and there's bats flying around everywhere. So they encourage you to keep your mouth closed while looking up and around because there's always a risk of droppings. And it's just interesting. And then the different wildlife that's in there and so on. But it is quite interesting. I didn't take any pictures inside because I didn't want to lose my camera by just hitting your elbow or whatever. Everything's very well organized. I've never actually, like I've been in a cave before when we went to Sicily. And we went underground, just kind of walking through a cave. Mm-hmm. But I've never, ever been on a subterranean river. It is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And they do a lot of research there so that the integrity of the underground water mm-hmm. and the caves are maintained and such. So that was today. And it was really fun and an interesting way to see another part of the world and especially mm-hmm. the Philippines and such. So we are going to fly to Cebu tomorrow for 2 nights and then onwards to Bohol for 2 nights and then back to Manila for 1 night before we fly home at the end of the week. So, lots more to see and do and, here, as far as like if you were, it's quite economical. Our dollar doesn't do so bad here. It can go a long way as far as like going out to grab a bite to eat or if you're so inclined to go shopping and such.
Going to ask actually about cost, not necessarily looking for specific prices of anything, but just comparable to. Because you were in Europe not too long ago and you've been other places. So the cost comparison to other places.
It's quite affordable here. Very, very affordable. Like what I like food and there's some of my favorite foods here. Like right now we're in mango season. So like you can have for 150 pesos, maybe not even $4, like, you know, probably $3. You can have a lovely drink, like with fresh fruit, like going out for dinner with, you know, a couple of alcoholic beverages and maybe an appetizer and such. And the main courses are around $40 Canadian.
Oh, wow. That is
good. Yeah, it is very, very, very good. Yeah. Because, you know, at home or even in Europe, it's $100 to $150 for going out for just a dinner meal. You know, and we arrange a lot of the travel components ahead of time and prepaid them. So really, the cash that we're using is just for tips.
Mm-hmm. Incidentals, and like you say, a few meals here and there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because breakfast is always included, and it's usually like a full buffet with different like Filipino dishes as well as North American or European dishes.
Oh, nice.
And such, and coffee, cappuccino, hot chocolates included, as well as like fresh juices and such. You know, one thing I do notice, yes, there's a lot of foreign visitors, but there's more domestic tourism here. Yeah,
well, it's also quite fascinating, and you still have some days ahead of you to share with us, so I'm looking forward to that. And people can always check out your social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, X, at Onanta Forbes. There's lots of great photos. I've been following you, and yeah, looks amazing, so excited to hear more on next week's show. Onanta Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, X, for all those great photos and videos. At Onanta Forbes, and onantaforbes.com is her website. Always great to chat, Onanta.
Take care. Thank you, Randy.